Chapter 5. Jeff sat upright at his bedroom desk, a soft bandage roll set beside a lamp that shone down upon the sutures of his outstretched left hand. He tugged gently at the threads of the stitches with a pair of tweezers and poked at the tender tissue surrounding the wound before clenching both hands tightly into fists. The injured hand felt weaker than the right hand, but not enough to prevent its use. So he opened his fists and placed a new gauze pad over the wounded palm. After winding the bandage around the hand a few times to keep the gauze in place, he hesitated for a moment before reaching into the bottom right-hand drawer of his desk. Rifling through its contents, he triumphantly pulled out a set of makeshift brass knuckles and slid them over the fingers of his left hand before sliding the drawer shut again. Squeezing the fist, he felt satisfied at the way the brass knuckles helped to alleviate pain by restricting the full motion of his fingers. He proceeded to wrap the entire hand with a bandage roll, patting the injured palm and tucking the brass knuckles inside before tightly encasing the whole contraption into a thick, solid paw using long strips of adhesive tape. Finally, he rose from the desk and moved to the center of the room, shadowboxing for a few moments until he heard an abrupt knock on his bedroom door. Before he could answer the knock, the door swung open to reveal Mick standing in the hallway. "Feel free to just stroll into my house," Jeff said.
"Your mother let me in,"
Mick pointed to his bandaged paw.
"How the hell are you gonna fight like that?"
"Better than you could." Jeff resumed his shadowboxing to a lesser degree. Mick laughed.
Everybody knows I pack a harder punch than you."
"Yeah? Prove it." Jeff turned an arm to his friend. "Go ahead, hit me." Mick grinned.
"Either hand?"
Jeff grimaced. "Just do it." Mick threw a straight punch with his right hand, landing the middle knuckle squarely into his leader's arm. Jeff winced and grunted from the impact, but maintained his stance before his lieutenant. He rubbed his arm to soothe the pain and then drew his right arm back while Mick dutifully turned his arm to accept the counterblow. Instead, Jeff pivoted and jabbed the left hand forward, driving his paw with the enclosed brass knuckles into Mick's biceps. He grinned as his lieutenant staggered back onto the bed with a howl of pain. Mick rubbed his new bruise vigorously.
"Jeez, did you glue a brick to your hand?"
Jeff laughed. "No, I taped my brass knuckles inside."
"You asshole."
"You deserved it." Jeff picked up his hurricane's jacket from the bedpost. "Ready to roll?" Mick stood up straight.
"Hell yeah, I've been ready all week."
Jeff attempted to slip his bandaged paw through the sleeve of his jacket, but it snagged on the cuff. He fumbled with it for a moment before turning to Mick. "Give me a hand." Mick helped him stretch the cuff over the bandage.
"Don't forget who did this to you, and don't think for a second he won't try to do something like that again."
"Did you bring the gun?" Mick patted a lump on his left hip.
"Of course. I don't leave home without it."
"Remember what I told you. I don't want any trouble. One of them tries something crazy, that's when you step in with it. Otherwise, we're in and out in 10 minutes.
"No problem, Jeff. I wouldn't use it on just anybody. Maybe Curly. After all, he did try to shoot me with it."
"No, that's what I'm talking about. You use it for defense only. I'm trusting you, Mick." Mick rolled his eyes.
"Okay, I promise. In and out in 10 minutes, just like you said."
"Let's go." Jeff shut off the light and headed up the short flight of stairs for the front door, with Mick following closely behind him. As the upper level of the house came into view, he spotted his mother dressed in the black pants and white shirt of her bartending uniform, snuffing a cigarette in an ashtray on the kitchen counter.
"Jeff?"
she called out as he opened the door.
"Where are you going?"
He sighed. "Out. It's Saturday night, you know."
"We haven't talked in 3 days. How's your hand?"
Jeff stopped in the doorway as Mick ducked past him for the front steps. "It's fine, Ma. I gotta go." She stepped to the railing and glared down at him, her black hair pulled back tight, her mascara thinly veiling the dark circles around her eyes.
Don't stay out too late.
I'll be home before you, he grumbled before stepping outside and shutting the door. Mick awaited him at the bottom of the front steps with a cigarette in hand.
You should be nicer to your mother.
I am nice to her. She picked a hell of a time for an update. Jeff leaped from the steps and landed by his lieutenant's side. Like you're the darling son. Mick laughed.
Ha! I am. My old man is just too drunk to know the difference.
Jeff glanced up to the gibbous moon before a row of advancing clouds. He drew a deep breath from the warm autumn breeze and hopped off the cement steps to the lawn. The two boys sauntered to the end of the driveway and headed left up Spruce Lane toward a streetlight at the intersection of Elm Street. As they approached its sphere of light, they spotted three figures in blue jackets entering from the right. There's a storm coming, Jeff called out to them.
A hurricane!
The largest one shouted back, thrusting a fist into the air. Jeff stepped under the streetlight and exchanged fist bumps with each of the three hurricane followers, Train, Bumbles, and Crazy Legs. Mick repeated the ritual with Train and Bumbles, but he stopped with a smirk on his face when he got to Crazy Legs.
Glad to see no one got cold feet.
Crazy Legs shot back a scornful look, but Train blurted out,
Why don't you get off his case, Mick? He's here. That's all that matters.
Mick flicked his cigarette into a nearby storm drain.
What's your problem? Underwear too tight?
I ain't in the mood for any damn bickering tonight.
Jeff leaned closer to Mick. Chill out, buddy.
Right. Don't want to get too worked up before a fight.
They walked in silence along Elm Street to the intersection of Arrow Drive, crossing the street for the short golden field and the woods beyond. Keep your eyes open. They might try to ambush us.
On our own turf?
Crazy Legs asked.
They're bold, but not that bold.
Don't sass your leader,
Mick said.
You'll make Train mad.
Train grinned and flicked his middle finger against Mick's earlobe. The lieutenant yelped in pain and whirled about to retaliate, but Train swelled his chest and flexed his muscles in a playful yet daunting manner that even Mick respected.
Gonna kick some tornado ass tonight,
the burly boy shouted. The hurricanes whooped with excitement as they dashed across the golden field and disappeared from view down the rabbit path. Jeff quickened his pace after them, pleased to see their anxiety subsiding and their fervor rising. What meager moonlight escaped the clouding sky was virtually lost among the treetops, yet the boys soon arrived at the landmark semicircle of pine trees with nary a stubbed toe. He finally caught up with them at the entrance of the underground fort, where Bumbles shined a pen light down to help Crazy Legs open the hatchway lock. The hurricane scout pulled the hatch open to reveal the muffled beat of rock music and the orange glow of the burning oil lamps inside. Mick peered over his shoulder.
Someone's already here?
Move back. Jeff brushed Crazy Legs aside with his paw before scaling down the rope ladder. He dropped to the floor and turned to see the rest of the gang sitting around a folding table playing cards. TJ tossed his cards onto the table.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff glanced about the faces of the four boys already nestled in the fort. How'd you guys get in here? Axel glanced up sheepishly.
We used the tunnel.
Well, you better cover it up when we get back. Jeff pointed to the music player set inside the recessed firebox. Turn that thing off and get rid of this table. We're not staying long. The four boys sprang into action to follow their leader's orders. Mick dropped into the fort, his eyes gleaming in the flickering lamplight.
Be ready to go?
Not yet. Get everyone in here for a minute. Jeff stepped to the raised platform while his lieutenant instructed the hurricanes outside to descend into the fort. As the trio filed down the rope ladder, Jeff turned the flip chart on the easel to a sketch of the upper and lower plazas. The hurricane leader's face grew taut as he scanned the room, searching for any hint of uncertainty or apprehension among his friends as they all assembled before him. You guys ready to rock? Their leader asked. Train hopped off the rope ladder, landing on the wooden floor with a resounding thud.
Let's kick some ass!
He bellowed, and the hurricanes cheered in agreement.
Yeah!
Brain removed his glasses and polished a lens with his shirt.
We're leaving already? It's not even 9 yet.
I want to be there first. We're going to be waiting for them. Jeff paused for the chatter to die down. Okay, listen up. I know some of you are anxious about tonight, but if we keep our wits about us, we'll be fine. I know Craig Matthews. He likes a good fight, but he's not out to kill anybody.
You mean he likes a good beating?
TJ said. Nervous laughter rippled through the fort, but Jeff remained stoic and pointed to the map. Here's the plan. They like to surprise us with their entry point, but we're gonna cut them off quick before they can gain a foothold. Train, you're with me on the south end of the tattoo parlor. We're covering the tree line and looking out for any activity coming up from the south end of Burrow Street. Mick, you're with Bumbles at the 7-Eleven facing west. You're gonna watch the lower plaza and any vehicles entering the parking lot.
Great,
Mick muttered.
I get stuck babysitting.
Jeff stared him down before continuing. Crazy Legs and Brain are the lookouts on the roof of the pool hall. TJ, Axel, and Denny are in the sand pits by the fence, watching the back of Gauchos and Tornado Territory. I don't think they'll be that predictable, but they've been pretty brazen lately, so who knows? First tornado sighting sounds the alert. No phones, they might give us away. Everyone knows the whistle?
They're all set,
Crazy Legs said. Jeff nodded. The target is Curly. We take him out first, and then we mop up the rest of them. He stepped away from the easel to address his friends directly. If things get out of control, I yell break, and we meet back here. Any questions?
Remember what they did to our leader,
Mick told the gang.
It's payback time.
The Hurricanes roared in approval.
Yeah!
Jeff stepped into the center of the fort and held out his bandaged hand with the palm facing down. Mick placed his palm on top of Jeff's, and each Hurricane added a hand on top of the pile, creating an eerie, spider-like shadow against the plywood ceiling of the fort. Their leader spoke in a low and determined tone. Through thick and thin, our blood and skin
is one,
the Hurricanes chanted as they tore their hands from the pile. He thrust his paw into the air. Let's rock!
Yeah!
The Hurricanes cheered as he stepped past them and scaled the rope ladder with his heartbeat pounding in his ears. A gust of wind struck him in the face as he reached level ground, momentarily throwing him off balance. But he leaned forward to steady himself while his friends gathered behind him one by one. With the lamps dark and the hatchway shut, the 9 boys strode along the dark path headlong into the wind toward the glow of the distant plaza lights. The surrounding branches and leaves seemed to quiver upon their approach, for these were the Hurricanes, unrelenting and undefeated, and no one would deprive them of a victory tonight. Leaning back against the white brick wall outside the tattoo parlor, Train flicked the butt of his cigarette with 2 fingers, watching the glowing red ember bounce to rest on the crushed gray gravel 3 feet away. He exhaled a breath of smoke into the night and cracked all the knuckles in both hands before turning to his right.
So when do we go?
Jeff stood at the front corner of the wall, peering down the sidewalk past Krusty's Pizza Parlor toward the 7-Eleven convenience store in the distance. We're waiting for a signal, he said without looking back, unless you see them coming up the tree line behind us.
You think they're gonna show?
We wouldn't be here otherwise.
Oh.
Train took a fresh pack of cigarettes from his jacket pocket and opened it.
So what if we get jumped right now?
Jeff finally looked back at his bodyguard. The only way that's gonna happen is if they sneak up along the tree line behind us, and you're supposed to watch out for that instead of talking to me. Now keep quiet, will ya? Train glanced to his left, where woods conjoined with a sandy field behind the rear parking lot. Nothing moved except leaves in the breeze, sometimes swirling in miniature cyclones until the life ran out of them. He fidgeted with his cigarette and turned to his leader.
Jeff?
He asked after a moment. Jeff didn't turn. What?
You ever think about getting back to good?
Huh? What are you talking about?
Back to good. You know, the way things used to be. The good old days.
Jeff stared blankly across the parking lot toward Burrow Street. I don't remember too many good old days.
Sure you do, Jeff. Remember last year how we'd pick up Mick and Crazy Legs and we'd all go cruising to the park in my van? Or we'd head down to the beach in your Camaro and chuck the football around and scope out the girls?
Jeff smiled faintly. You're right. Those were good times.
I miss those days.
Train shifted his footing on the sparse gravel and leaned against the wall.
Seems like all we talk about nowadays is stealing and fighting.
Jeff shrugged. Times change, I guess. Train drew another drag and exhaled.
Did Mick bring that gun?
Yeah, I wanted him to.
I wish I had it.
Jeff frowned in thought for a moment before looking back at his friend again. This ain't the OK Corral train. He's just bringing it to balance things out.
Just the same, I wish there weren't no guns here tonight.
Yeah, me too. Jeff craned his neck to see around the corner again. Train slid closer to him.
Can I ask a favor from you?
Jeff sighed. Of course.
Well, I know how you're pretty much on top of things in a fight. I mean, I never see you get beat up or anything. So I was wondering, if I keep an eye out for you tonight, can you sort of try to keep one out for me too?
Jeff frowned. You nervous or something?
A little, I guess.
Train looked down.
Everyone's afraid of something, right?
Jeff looked his friend in the eye. Look, nothing's gonna happen. We'll be done and chugging beers at TJ's house in an hour. He scanned his friend's face for some sign of consent, but he wasn't even sure if he believed his own words. Finally, he patted Train on the shoulder. I'll keep an eye out for you, and we're pulling out the first sign of trouble, I promise. He returned to his post and peered around the corner. Mick's gone. Come on. Jeff hurtled over the short retaining wall and sprinted down the sidewalk with Train hot on his heels. They jumped off the sidewalk at the far end and bounded across the delivery driveway to the cement sidewalk of the 7-Eleven store, slowing to a stop in front of the glass entrance doors.
Where'd he go?
Train asked. Jeff looked about in search of his friend. I don't know. Listen for a whistle. Train pointed inside the store.
He's talking to that girl. Hey, isn't that your new girlfriend?
Jeff spat on the sidewalk. It sure is. What's she doing here?
Let's find out.
No. You stay out here and find Bumbles. I don't see him around either. Jeff threw open the glass door and stormed inside. Cindy and Mick both looked over when he entered, but Cindy turned away while Mick sauntered closer.
Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
Nothing yet. What's up? Mick pointed a thumb over his shoulder.
The stupid cashier said if I kept hanging around, he'd call the cops on me. So I came in to buy some smokes. Then your girlfriend came in and I...
Jeff held up his hand to stop Mick's babbling. He stepped over to the snack rack, where Cindy was diligently inspecting a bag of potato chips. Hey.
Oh, hey, Jeff. Care for some chips? I'll get pretzels if you prefer.
What are you doing here?
Shopping. Is that okay with you?
There's a store right down the street from your house.
I got my mom's car, and I felt like taking a ride.
She stared at him for a moment before dropping her gaze in disappointment.
I tried calling you today, but I kept getting your voicemail.
I've been really busy. How did you even know I was here?
Train told Shannon. Shannon texted me. Here I am.
Jeff cast a wary eye back to Train standing outside the glass doors as she continued.
I just wanted to say that I was sorry about last night. My father shouldn't have treated you that way.
You don't need to apologize for him. I don't hold it against you.
You're sure you're not mad at me?
Of course not. She flashed her eyes up at him.
Can I come watch you tonight?
Jeff glanced uneasily at Mick eavesdropping by the door. It ain't a baseball game, Cindy. Things could get dangerous. You should go home.
How are you gonna fight with your hand wrapped up like that? Look at you.
Go home, please. Cindy sighed and smiled.
Okay. Be careful.
She walked to the exit, where Mick opened the door and gestured her outside in an overtly regal manner. Jeff socked him in the stomach as he followed her out of the store, watching from the corner of his eye as his lieutenant slipped into the shadows of the parking lot. He stepped from the sidewalk and joined Cindy at the side of her mother's white sedan.
"I'll call you later," he said.
With worried eyes, she nodded and kissed him on the cheek before climbing into the car. He waited as she started the engine and waved goodbye as she backed into the center of the parking lot, then forward to the Borough Street traffic light. Suddenly, Mick dashed up to him from the side of the store.
"Jeff, we gotta go! Why didn't you tell me Bumbles was gone? The fight's already started. They're in the back alley!"
Jeff cast an anxious glance at the white sedan still sitting at the red light before darting off after his lieutenant. Around the corner, Train waited as if they were about to pass him a baton.
"Hurry!"
the burly boy cried. Jeff grabbed him by the wrist.
"Wait! We can't all rush in together. Train, you circle the bar and come in behind the pool hall. Mick, hang here and keep watch by the fence. I'll head around front and come in from the left. We still target Curly first. 60 seconds on my mark. Got it?"
His friends nodded quickly.
"Okay, go."
Train ran off down the front sidewalk toward the backside of Gaucho's Cantina, while Mick slunk along the dark windows of the corner donut shop, toward the short wooden fence at the front entrance of the alleyway. Jeff ran around the front leg of the L, past the dark storefronts of a florist and nail salon that both faced Borough Street. At the far end of the sidewalk, he turned before a faded stockade fence and crept down a dark, littered path along the side of the building. He inched forward until the tips of his sneakers met the shadow line of the alleyway, cast by the lemon light of a rooftop spotlight perched high over the alley blacktop and the gangs battling upon it. Two boys tumbled to the pavement directly in front of him, locked like rams and swinging fists that were generally restrained by the other. The boy in the hurricane jacket broke free and stood upright, his nose running with blood as he looked straight into the darkness where his leader hid. Jeff shrank into the shadows, still waiting for Train's arrival, while Crazy Legs drew back in confusion from what he had seen before his tornado adversary pulled him back into the fray. Jeff glanced over the scuffle to see Train running up so fast that he accidentally stepped into the glow of the alley spotlight. The hurricane bodyguard quickly sprang back to the cover of darkness, but the tornadoes were already shouting proclamations of his arrival. Left with no alternative, Jeff whistled and jumped into the alley with fist and paw cocked before him as Train slid beside him and Mick stepped up to the gap in the short fence between the two buildings. Craig flung Denny aside and pointed across the alleyway.
"It's Hollister! Get him!"
All the tornadoes were already engaged in the clash, so no one could immediately respond to his order. The tornado leader started toward Jeff, but Mick rushed through the fence opening and tackled him as if blindsiding a quarterback. Craig crumpled to the ground, and Mick sprang excitedly to his feet, while Train advanced into the center of the alley, ready to pummel any tornado crossing his path. Jeff followed him into the throng of combatants battling all around them, wary of threats from all directions. Their first opposition was Zack, who sidestepped Train to catch his caboose. Pulling Jeff by the shoulders back to the ground, Train spun about to aid his leader, but Happy Jack and Phil jumped him from either side to force him down as well, pounding his body with punches while he struggled to lift his face from the asphalt. Jeff's position was no better, sitting on the pavement with Zack's hairy forearm squeezing his throat. He turned his chin toward his captor's elbow, allowing his windpipe room to breathe. Then he yanked a handful of Zack's hair with his good hand and slugged his enemy's face with the weight of the enclosed brass knuckles in his bandaged paw. Zack groaned and loosened his grip, allowing Jeff to peel the thick arm from his neck with a merciless twist of the wrist. He shoved the tornado bodyguard back to the pavement before rolling to his knees in search of his next adversary. Craig spotted Jeff and rose to his feet, but Mick flattened him again with a right cross to his head. The Hurricane Lieutenant glanced from side to side as he backed up to his leader.
"Where's Curly? I don't see him."
Jeff scanned the shadowy edges of the alley. find him! Mick dashed off into the dark alley behind Gaucho's as Jeff turned back to fight. He spotted Train on his knees with his face still pressed to the asphalt, rocking his torso as Phil and Happy Jack struggled to restrain his arms. With a ferocious roar, the bodyguard spread his broad shoulders apart and ripped his left hand free, elbowing Phil in the groin and then double-fisting Happy Jack under the chin to lay him out flat upon his back. Jeff leaped over the stricken tornado and landed in the center of the alley with his weaponized paw leading the way, ready to protect Train as he rose to his feet. Red and blue jackets swirled about them like fireworks, yet friends and foes were hard to discern amid their violent dance. Jeff spotted with his peripheral vision a dark object swinging toward him. He ducked away, but the object still glanced off his head and knocked him to his knees. Stunned, he looked up to see JJ with a sinister grin upon his goateed face and a stolen billy club in his hand. The tornado drew his arm back to deliver another blow, but Train sprang forward to grab his wrist in mid-swing, and together they toppled to the ground. Jeff wobbled to his feet and staggered to the shadows of the nearby dumpster, shaking his head to clear his cloudy vision. As his wits returned, he looked back to see Train lying on his back, fending off JJ's furious billy club assault with his hands and feet. Jeff slid up behind JJ and, with careful aim, delivered a left jab to the back of his adversary's head that knocked him to the ground with all the grace of a bowling pin. Train pried the billy club from his adversary's hand as he lay moaning with his face in the grimy asphalt, while Jeff turned his attention back to the center of the alley to find another hurricane in need. Crazy Legs shoved Willie to the ground and backed up to his leader.
Who's got Curly?
Mick's looking for him, Jeff replied.
You mean we're sitting ducks?
Jeff shuddered from the bluntness of his friend's assessment. He surveyed the battle arena, where Phil lay groaning with his head against the southern fence, and Bumbles sat propped up against the short building, nursing an ankle injury. Zack traded fists with TJ and Denny, while Axel squeezed Willie in a headlock and Train pinned JJ to the asphalt with a billy club jacked beneath his chin. The tornadoes seemed to be losing the fight, but they weren't ready to surrender just yet. Craig, Tony, and Happy Jack remained free to fight Crazy Legs, Brain, and himself, a match he felt confident the Hurricanes would win. Still, he saw no sign of anyone possessing the second gun, and he saw little gain in finishing the fight just to prove a point. We're done, he told Crazy Legs. Spread the word. Crazy Legs turned about to carry out the order, but a beer bottle crashed over his head and he slumped to the ground. Happy Jack pounced upon him while Brain piled on to defend his friend. Jeff lunged forward to help, only to feel a bicycle chain slapping against his chest. Alertly, he raised his good hand to his neck before the greasy chain wrapped around his throat, but Tony pulled it tight against his hand and dragged him down to the pavement with it. Craig dove in and sat upon his chest, grappling for his throat with sweaty hands as Tony pulled the bicycle chain free to lash his legs with it. Craig pinned Jeff's head to the asphalt.
Give up, Hollister, or I'll...
The tornado leader gasped as the bicycle chain pulled taut around his throat and yanked him off Jeff. Train stepped over Tony, lying subdued on the asphalt, before reaching down to grasp Jeff's hand.
I really saved your neck that time,
his bodyguard grinned as he pulled Jeff to his feet. Jeff sighed with relief.
I owe you one. Come on, let's get out of here.
Brain shoved Happy Jack aside and pointed urgently toward the short fence at the front of the alley.
Jeff, look out!
Jeff whirled about, fearing the worst. He spotted Curly standing on the sidewalk behind the fence with a crooked grin on his face and a finger already squeezing the trigger on his stolen revolver. A gunshot thundered throughout the alley, and blood spattered upon Jeff's face just as Train knocked him off his feet with a diving tackle. A shrill scream rang out amid the shouts of the scattering boys, while Jeff fell beneath the weight of his burly friend, landing with his arms pinned to his side by his friend's grasp. His head snapped back to strike the pavement, and he blacked out. When Jeff came to, the first sensation he felt was an incredible pressure upon his chest that pinned his back to the ground and restricted his lungs from expanding. Slowly, his ears attuned to the sounds about him. The distant shouts of frightened boys running away, the faint wail of a siren drawing closer. And he opened his eyes to see the lemon spotlight blaring down at him. Lifting his head off the pavement, he discovered the weight on his chest was actually Train's thick torso lying upon him.
"I'm okay, buddy,"
he said as he struggled to free his right hand from beneath his friend's body.
"You can get off me now."
Train said nothing and moved nowhere.
"Come on, man. Get up. I can't breathe."
He grabbed Train's shoulder and with all his might flopped his friend onto his side to reveal a tattered t-shirt soaked in blood. With a gasp, Jeff scrambled to his knees to press his fingers against Train's neck, feeling for a pulse but unsure if he found one. He leaned his ear close to his friend's lips, desperately listening for sounds of breathing, but hearing none. Straddling Train's chest, he began compressions the best he could with his bandaged hand, but every time he pressed down on his friend's sternum, the gunshot wound on the left ribcage gurgled with blood, while Train's pupils stared listlessly into the yellow light. The siren grew louder in Jeff's ears with every passing second. Tired and bloodied, he ceased revival efforts when a hand tugged at his shoulder from behind him.
"Come on!"
Mick panted.
"We gotta get out of here!"
Jeff pulled away. "No, I'm not leaving him here like this!" Mick pulled at his hair in frustration.
"He's dead! Can't you see? We gotta go! The cops are coming! Don't you hear the damn sirens? We'll all go to jail!"
Jeff cradled Train's limp hand in his own. "I don't care! I can't just leave him here!" Mick straightened up and smeared a tear across his face with the palm of his hand.
"He's gone, man. Don't ruin things for yourself, too."
He turned about and bolted from the alley. Jeff watched Mick disappear into the darkness, knowing his lieutenant was right. Train was gone. The siren grew clearer as a flash of blue light approached from Burrow Street, yet he remained steadfast, solemn in his word to stay by his fallen friend. The blue lights cut through the parking lot toward the far end of the nightclub, and he knew in a moment his life would be transformed forever. He felt a gentler hand upon his shoulder, accompanied by a familiar female voice.
"Come, Jeff. Let's go."
He looked up to see Cindy standing over him, her windbreaker flapping in the breeze and her face streaked with tears. "Why are you here?" he asked. "I told you to go home." She sank to her knees beside him. Bright headlights and blue flashers lit up the fence as a police cruiser turned into the alley. She pulled on his shoulder in desperation.
"Please, Jeff, I don't want to lose you like this."
His troubled mind could not sort through all the implications of being caught with a police chief's daughter beside his dead friend's body, but his gut told him he should listen to her. He stood and glared down at his fallen friend as the cruiser accelerated down the delivery driveway behind Gaucho's. Finally, he pointed to the hole in the stockade fence leading into tornado territory. "That way." Cindy grabbed his sleeve and pulled him toward the escape while he lifted his collar to shield his face from the approaching headlights. The cruiser screeched to a halt as its lights came to bear upon the body lying in the center of the alleyway. The passenger door popped open, and a stocky young officer hopped out, pointing his gun from behind the cover of his door.
"Freeze!"
he ordered, but Jeff ducked through the hole in the fence behind Cindy. The officer turned and shouted to his partner behind the wheel.
"Man down! Call for backup! I'm going after them!"
Jeff pointed to a dim trail winding away from the other side of the fence. "Go!" Cindy released his sleeve to claw her way through two overgrown berry bushes, pinching the narrow path on either side. Jeff clung to the tail of her jacket, following her down a small hill to a dry ravine, where a wooden plank spanned the gully and connected the worn path to an empty lot on Diamond Street. The sparsely lit road wound up a hill to their right into the heart of tornado territory. Jeff crossed the plank after Cindy and stooped down to pick up the board. Keep running!
What are you doing?
Buying time! He tossed the crude bridge into the ravine and ran after her. You're pretty quick. We can lose this guy if we play it smart. She nodded as they headed toward the backyard of the first house in the comfort of the shadows. They could hear the berry branches rustling behind them as the pursuing officer advanced down the path, audibly relaying his position to his partner with his caller radio. Cindy turned back to see if the officer had cleared the ravine, but Jeff pulled her along by her wrist. Careful! We're done if he IDs either one of us. The next yard offered little cover aside from a few small maple trees, so Jeff hustled through it to hurdle a short post fence at the far end of the property. He slowed up and shot a glance back to locate Cindy, only to find she had already cleared the fence and was now sprinting past him. Looking back over the lawn they had just crossed, he did not readily see the stocky officer, although he was certain the man had not given up. Cindy was now a full 10 yards in front, running toward the same post fence at the opposite end of the yard when a blue light flashed off the siding of a house across the street. Cindy, duck! He whispered, running after her. She cleared the fence and dropped to the ground while he dove over the rail and rolled to her side. They lay flat on their stomachs as a cruiser passed silently down the street with its blue lights flashing upon its roof. When the car was far enough down the street, Cindy readied to dash forward again, but Jeff grabbed her arm and held her back. He pressed a finger to his lips, pointing to the silhouettes of three boys walking toward the back deck of the next house, coming from the direction of the upper plaza. They laughed among themselves as they started up the unlit back porch stairs, and Jeff recognized their voices as those of his enemies.
I think you got him,
Happy Jack said.
I got one of them,
Curly said.
I couldn't tell which one.
JJ started up the stairs.
Whoever it was, you got him. He went down and he stayed down.
They all laughed again while Jeff gritted his teeth, fighting the urge to rush up behind them and drag them all backward down the porch stairs. He squeezed Cindy's hand tightly as they watched the jovial tornadoes filing into the house and flicking on the lights inside. Then they heard a loud thud and a discernible grunt behind them, as the pursuing officer knocked a fence rail from its post on his way to the ground.
The cop!
Come on, this way. He darted to the left alongside the house, glancing back when he reached the street curb to be sure she was still behind him. They crossed the street for the backyards of Ruby Road, the road that intersected Diamond Street at the top of the steep slope. A 4-foot-high chain-link fence lined the perimeter of the second property. Inside the yard, the terrain rose sharply to a tall row of boxwood shrubs at the top of the hill. He scaled the fence and reached back for her hand. This way! Hurry! She glanced back at the policeman crossing the street in pursuit before climbing over the fence, but Jeff was already running up the hill by the time she landed. He reached the shrubs and turned back for her hand again as she labored up the hill, waiting long enough to grasp her hand and pull her to the top.
What are you gonna do?
She asked breathlessly. He led her up to the edge of the bushes. I'm gonna take this guy out.
Don't hurt him,
she pleaded. Trust me. They looked back over the lower lawn to see the officer toiling up the hill.
You!
The panting officer called from the base of the slope.
Stop!
Jeff ducked between the center bushes before pulling Cindy after him. On the other side, a stone patio surrounded an in-ground swimming pool, partially drained and covered with a vinyl tarp. He pointed at the bushes to her right before crouching behind the low branches of the bush to his left. She nodded and followed his lead. Together, they waited in silence as they struggled to control their breathing. The stocky officer lumbered up the hilltop, his deep breaths and his jingling handcuffs betraying his every step. The bushes rustled as he burst onto the patio with his gun in hand, gasping in surprise at the half-empty pool looming before him. Before he could completely stop, Jeff sprang forward and barreled into his back, sending him over the edge of the pool and onto the vinyl tarp with a curse and a muffled splash.
Come on, Jeff called out, darting past Cindy for the dark backyard, as the officer floundered against the collapsing tarp and the cold water leaking onto it. Running with renewed vigor, Cindy caught up with Jeff as he jogged toward Ruby Road.
You did it!
She exclaimed, grabbing him by the waist.
We're home free!
Not yet, he replied, knowing danger still lurked everywhere. They continued upon the gradual rise toward Arrow Drive, where hurricane territory began on the other side of the road. Mick stumbled recklessly down the dark forest path, having already tripped twice and fallen hard upon protruding rocks and roots, but any pain he felt was secondary to his urgent need for refuge. He left the common path before it reached the giant pine, Mr. Big, frantically tearing through stalks of overgrown brush until he emerged scratched and bleeding at the semicircle of pines surrounding the location of the underground fort. The hatchway door was shut, but he could hear the voices of the hurricanes inside as he reached for his handle. He opened the door and the voices hushed, while the orange glow from within the fort lit up his face.
It's Mick,
TJ said. Mick climbed down the rope ladder and dropped to the floor. The hurricanes milled about and fidgeted upon the couch. Many of them sported bruises and cuts, but all of them suffering from greater emotional angst.
Where's Jeff?
Bumbles asked.
Is he okay?
Mick lit a cigarette and drew a long drag from it, exhaling slowly as he walked across the fort. He stepped up onto the platform and turned about to face his anxious friends.
Jeff's okay,
he finally said.
I think he got busted.
The cops got him?
Crazy Legs gasped. Mick shook his head.
I didn't stick around to find out.
Brain scratched his chin.
Why didn't you?
Why didn't you?
Mick stared down the solemn faces.
Why'd you all run off like that?
We heard a gunshot,
Axel replied.
Jeff said if things got out of control.
So he didn't follow you back?
Crazy Legs asked. Mick stared at the floor for a moment, his cigarette loose between his fingers.
He wanted to stay with Train.
Crazy Legs frowned.
So where's Train? Did he get busted too?
Mick lifted his head and narrowed his eyes at the hurricanes.
Train's dead.
What?
He's dead!
Mick threw his cigarette into the firebox in disgust.
Do I gotta spell it out for y'all?
Bumbles buried his face in his hands, and Axel wiped his eyes. TJ shook his head and muttered.
Oh my God.
Crazy Legs clenched his teeth and stepped closer to Mick.
Are you happy now? Did you get what you wanted?
Don't blame me! I didn't fucking shoot him!
Mick whirled about and stopped at the sketches upon the easel. He slammed a fist into the easel, knocking it to the floor and scattering the poster boards across the floor.
Son of a bitch!
Denny shook his head.
These fights ain't no big deal. Nobody's supposed to die.
The tornadoes aren't acting like they used to,
Brain said. Mick fumed.
Well, ain't that the most brilliant thing you ever said? Do me a favor and keep your stupid revelations to yourself.
Don't get hostile with us,
Crazy Legs shouted back.
And don't pretend like you didn't know this could happen. You got us into this.
Shut up, Kramer!
Mick roared.
You better watch who you're talking to!
TJ stepped forward.
Hey, cool it! We're all in this together!
I'm telling it like it is,
Crazy Legs said.
Mick has to own up to it.
Mick clenched his fists and stormed off the platform, but Crazy Legs stood tall in the face of his raging friend. The scout took a hard punch in the gut from his leader and doubled over in pain before falling onto the couch. He gasped and held his stomach as he glared up at the hurricane lieutenant.
You're a real tough guy, Mick,
he said. Mick leaned forward.
Stand up, and I'll do it again.
TJ wrapped his arms around Mick's chest.
Stop it!
He shouted as the other hurricanes rushed to protect Crazy Legs.
Let me go!
Mick wriggled free and back to the rope ladder. He climbed halfway up and stopped with one arm looped around the top rung as he turned a fist back to the gang.
Train's my friend too,
Anyone says different and they'll get a taste of the same!
He climbed out into the night and flung the hatchway door shut on the bewildered faces inside the fort, eclipsing the orange glow at the same time. Outside, the breeze felt colder and the woods seemed darker now that the moon had finally lost its scuffle with the clouds. With a shiver, he buttoned his jacket and headed for the forest path leading back to Hurricane Territory, far away from the sirens of the emergency vehicles still descending upon the plaza. His part in the fracas was likely done for the evening, unless, he patted the pistol tucked beneath his jacket with a curl upon his lips, an opportune rendezvous with an unsuspecting tornado presented itself along the way home. Jeff burst through the front door of his house and switched on the overhead foyer light. Hurry! Shut the door behind you! Cindy followed him inside and pressed the door shut, while he scrambled upstairs and vanished down a dark hallway to his right. More lights flicked on in various rooms down the hallway as she slowly climbed the staircase in this unfamiliar house. Jeff hurried back down the hallway, past the staircase and across the living room to switch on a corner lamp. Already his torso was stripped of his hurricane jacket and bloody shirt, with neither article in sight. He grabbed a remote control from the coffee table and clicked on the television set before peering out the picture window up and down the street as far as he could see. His face was flushed with anxiety as he rushed into the kitchen to grab a pair of scissors from the cutlery block. Cindy fidgeted with indecisiveness as he hurried past her down the hallway and through the first doorway on the right. "Come here. I need you." She found him in the bathroom, hacking the scissors at his bandaged white paw, now stained with blood.
Jeff, are you okay?
Help me get this off. Hurry.
It's okay. We're safe now.
We're not safe. You don't know who's out there. The cops, the tornadoes.
Cindy took his hand and patiently peeled at the tape with her fingernails.
Let the police handle the tornadoes.
Cops can't stop someone from shooting me.
He handed her the scissors. Here, use these. She started to snip at the bandage.
Don't be so paranoid. The tornadoes are the ones who should be scared, not you.
Who do you think the target was tonight? I'm the one he wants dead, not Train.
She freed an end of the tape and began to pull at it.
Who? Who wants you dead, Jeff?
He took the tape from her and continued to unravel the bandage as he thought about the ramifications of his answer.
I can't tell you right now. If anyone thinks I used you to tip off the cops, we're both in deep shit.
Jeff, I'm not going to say anything that you don't want me to.
He threw the ball of tape at the wastebasket and then slid his brass knuckles from his left hand.
I can't believe this is happening. Why did Train have to get in the way?
It's not your fault.
It's all my fault, Cindy. How could I be so stupid?
He cast the brass knuckles across the room in a fury, and the crude weapon dented two of the walls before rattling to a rest inside the bathtub. Just then, a flash of blue light cut through the window blinds, originating from the driveway below.
The cops.
What took them so long?
Jeff listened intently as car doors slammed shut and heavy footsteps clomped up the steps. He stepped to the bathroom window and waited for a rap on the door before sliding it open.
Who's out there?
Police,
replied a voice from below.
Hold on a minute.
Jeff shut the window.
I'll handle them. Follow my lead.
Before he could object, she left the bathroom and walked downstairs to the front door, so he stayed back and hurriedly washed his hands and face in the sink. At the foyer, Cindy switched on the front porch light before opening the door to a flashlight shining in her face. She recognized the two Salisbury lawmen standing on the front steps. A uniformed officer with a trim red beard and Dryden on his name tag, and Dan Shelnick, a middle-aged detective with graying sideburns, dressed in a brown sports jacket and a matching fedora hat. She stepped closer to the screen door, and their jaws dropped open as they recognized her.
Cindy?
The detective exclaimed.
What are you doing here?
Oh, hi, Dan. I'm just hanging with my boyfriend. I was getting ready to leave, actually.
Jeff Hollister is your boyfriend?
Officer Dryden asked incredulously.
Well, kinda. We met down at the pizza shop and one thing led to another, if you know what I mean.
She winked at him. The two men shifted in discomfort, and Detective Shelnick removed his fedora.
Does your father know you're here?
He thinks I went to the mall tonight. You're not going to tell him, are you?
Their gazes turned up over her shoulder to Jeff descending the stairs, shirtless and barefoot, with his hair slicked back as if he had just taken a shower. He stepped beside Cindy and pushed the front door completely open. Hey, guys, he said through the screen door. What's up?
What you been up to tonight, Hollister?
Dryden asked. Jeff snuggled up behind Cindy and wrapped an arm around her. Did you tell them? She reached back and stroked the hair on his chest.
Maybe you should, honey.
Jeff started to reply, but the detective cleared his throat.
We just needed to verify your whereabouts. Sorry for the disturbance, Hollister. Have a nice evening.
Jeff acted perplexed. What's this all about? Shelnick shook his head.
Can't say. Good night.
He placed his hat back on his head and started down the steps. Dryden followed him.
That's it? You're just gonna believe them?
Shelnick shrugged.
Ken, if you want to tell Matt his daughter is lying to us, go right ahead.
Dan, wait!
Cindy called out. They stopped and turned around.
Can you give me a ride to my car? It's down at the plaza.
Dryden shot an uneasy glance at the detective, but Shelnick nodded his approval to her before continuing toward the cruiser. Jeff turned her about and looked into her eyes. I can take you.
Don't worry, they'll do it.
She brushed his hair back from his eyes.
Just take it easy, okay?
He forced a smile. I'll try. Can I call you tomorrow?
You better,
she replied. She kissed him, and for one brief moment, he forgot all about the dreadful event that had just unfolded. That sentiment ended abruptly once she stepped outside and followed the two lawmen into the cruiser, leaving him alone in the quiet house. He watched through the screen as the cruiser backed out of the driveway and drove away. Then he shut the front door and walked about the house, switching off all the lights until the television provided the only source of illumination. Finally, he slumped into a rocking recliner with a TV remote in his hand, numbly clicking through the channels for an hour before switching the television off. He sat in the glow of a street lamp shining through the picture window, slowly rocking himself back and forth with a lump in his throat and tears in his eyes, silently watching the quiet street outside until eventually he drifted off to sleep.